You're listening to Fritz and Friends on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
And welcome back to Fritz and Friends. Cheryl Fritz here, producer Scott Eckersley along this evening. 1320 WILS and streaming live on 1320WILS.com. Going out on the phone now to Judge David Jordan, who is with 54B District Court in East Lansing. Good evening, Judge.
Good evening.
How are you?
I'm great.
Good. Wanted to get a hold of you on something I'd heard about recently. It may have been around for a while, and we'll find that out, but I hadn't heard about it. It's called Ingham County Veterans Treatment Court. I guess probably the best place to start is just with describing what this is.
Well, Veterans Treatment Courts as a nationwide movement are not new, or not old. They're probably a couple years old, and they started by a visionary judge in Buffalo, New York, named Robert Russell. Treatment courts have been around for more than a decade, and the idea is to emphasize treatment as opposed to punishment, you know, lock them up and throw away the key. But Judge Russell found that veterans did not do well in the traditional treatment courts, and he and some of his collaborators decided that they would try and draw out the veterans and try a new thing, and they called it a veterans treatment court. And the thing they added along with treatment programming was to find veterans who would be willing to serve one-on-one peer-to-peer counseling, veteran mentors, whatever you want to call it. And that's kind of the guts of the program.
So, I'll back up, I guess, for a moment to
sure.
to deal a lot of what you would see in court and folks, veterans who would be eligible for this kind of a program, are dealing with substance abuse issues or mental health issues. I don't want to put words in your mouth. Is that accurate?
It's at least a component of what their problems are. Sometimes the thing that got him in trouble with law might look pretty simple, like a drunk driving case, and yet there's no real way to figure out why they did it. And you realize for many of the veterans coming back, they've got deeper issues, and they kind of self-medicate with alcohol. And it's getting them back to a clean and sober lifestyle by getting behind just the simple presenting problem and getting them into the treatment they need to readjust to society.
So let's say for just the sake of discussion and explanation, someone comes a veteran comes in who's been charged with drunk driving. How would he or she be led into this program or find out about the program and the process work?
Well, I kind of analogize it to the way you do things on your computer. You know, on the top of the screen, there's a whole bunch of different ways to achieve a result, or you hit an F key or something. People come in different ways. Sometimes the police find out at the time of the incident that they're a veteran. Sometimes they hook up with a defense lawyer, and the defense lawyer is aware of the program, finds out the person is a veteran, and that does it. Sometimes when they come in first time in court, that's for what we call an arraignment. We find out they're a veteran because we ask. It's happened that we didn't find out about it until sentencing sometime, and then we kind of take a step back and say, well, we've got this different kind of program. So how they find out about it is a lot of different ways, and I think as the word gets out, more and more defense lawyers know about it. The police are doing their bit to kind of help direct people towards us. And then once they're in, they get referred. And this actually covers all of Ingham County. It's a very, I guess in these ideas of regionalism and new structures of things, all three district courts, that's the 55th in Mason, the 54B in East Lansing, and 54A in Lansing, along with the circuit court, are all organized into this Ingham County Veterans Treatment Court. We have a special charter, so to speak. It's called a memorandum of understanding with the Supreme Court has approved in a special order, and that's what we operate under.
And you mentioned Well, let me back up a moment again.
Sure.
This feels like on the webpage, it talks about the mission is leave no veteran behind. So it's kind of saying, okay, you've done something for our country and for us. We're going to take an extra step in the court system to try to help you through this process. Is that accurate?
Absolutely. Then Chief Justice Kelly came to one of our inaugural court sessions, and she put it elegantly and simply. She said, "We just hope that this court can be as of good a service to you as you have been to us." It's not as if people who go to war on behalf of this country all come back in horrible, horrible trouble. Most veterans come back, they readjust, and they move on with their life, and that's great. But some don't. My mentor coordinator often says that they kind of lose the ability to trust people. And if there's some one person they can come to trust, we pair them up with a veteran mentor that has had some of the same experiences they've had, and they begin to build a common sense of communication, and that bond of being veterans is there, and we just sort of build on that, and we use the trouble that they got into as a bridge to getting them into the treatment they need to get back to a good, productive life.
Well, and what I'm hearing also is that when the trust is set up, it can be a learning moment instead of a punishment, as you said. I mean, there will be consequences most likely, but it can be viewed differently if they see the outcome can be good in the end.
Absolutely. It's the easiest thing in the world for a veteran down, and I'm going to keep saying him because so far all the veterans in the court are men. It turns out that women are coming back with troubles too. In a way, I feel like it's fortunate we have got mentors trained who are women to match up with them. We just don't have any yet, but a lot of them have been victimized by normal PTSD issues that happen. I say normal, and that's a terrible thing to say. But they also have experienced sexual assault, sometimes at the hand of brother soldiers, and their troubles are sort of doubly bad. And they need a woman mentor, but so far it's all been men. Whatever it was that got the person into trouble with the criminal law turns out to be something they can make work for them as they work their way through the process. But it's not as easy as just say, well, we just go to jail for 7 days and then we're done. It's not good for the person because they're in no better place. It's certainly not good for the community because these folks are set back on their own to go, still lost and not making progress forward.
As you've moved through with this, are you seeing success? Is the program doing what you were hoping it would do?
Oh, it's been breathtaking. I want to talk about three things if I can.
Sure.
A fella who just really lived day to day for, maybe over 20 years. He was at early Gulf War days, and he just, by his own statements, he said, it's not like I was suicidal, but he just didn't care day to day what went on. And we've gotten him in the program. He got a grant to re-enroll at LCC. He's learning a trade. This Christmas, he said, it's the first year I've had a Christmas tree in a long time. It's because it's the first year I've had a place to put one.
Wow.
He's getting that kind of community support, and he cares. And his mentor and he have been working. And that's one of the things I want to say. Major Anderson is his mentor. Major Anderson was a Marine on Okinawa in World War II, and he's giving of his time and considerable energies to help the veteran, and it's just been wonderful, and had a number of community programs. Another wife wrote a letter to us that said, I just want to thank you and Probation Officer Matt Brundage. You've given me my husband back since he came back from the war. He's been, I think at that point it was 5 months sober. He's like the man he was, and that was great. And a third thing that was even most moving, and it just took my breath away, really it did when it happened, a fella from Vietnam era, born in, I think he was born in 48, if I got it right, but he was over there and had a hard year in country and had an alcohol-related offense, and he came back for the, he came into the court on one day, and they, we go a monthly review every one day or another every month. We see everybody in the court, and I said, well, how's it been going since you got on? He said, well, I've had two really great surprises. I mean, first of all, I had to stop drinking, and I've just had so much more pep and energy, and I feel a lot more alert. It's really great, and so that was really sound. And he said, but way more important than that, the nightmares have stopped.
There you go.
He said, I've been having, I mean, I built my life around having nightmares for decades now, and I got on the doctor you sent me to, I got on some different medication, and they stopped. And also, he's talked with his mentor, who's another guy who was had a hard year in Vietnam and who had troubles when he first came back. And he said, I've talked with Ben, and he tells me that time, there's been a couple nights I didn't take the pills, I still didn't have nightmares. And Ben said, yeah, that's going to happen. You're going to find out they're going to go away.
Well,
he has hope. His hope now. And plus, how do you, what can you say about that? A guy who's getting rid of nightmares after all these years.
They're amazing, amazing stories, sir. Time constraints are going to stop me here, but I'll get in touch with you another time, and we'll talk about how the program continues. It's a great program. Thank you so much for sharing.
You're very welcome.
Thank you. Judge David Jordan, 54B District Court in East Lansing. We'll be back with more Fritz and Friends after this.